know that you are here to set us free, to heal our mindsets, to transform us. Lord, we ask that every word that you will speak today will fall on fertile ground. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, celebrate Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Help me greet the person beside you and be seated in God's wonderful presence. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just going to get straight into the word. We're still teaching on power, money, and sex. And if you were around, how many people were around for first service? Is there anybody that was around for first service? Yes. So if you were around for first service, you know how good first service was. And one of the things I want to encourage you to do is to cause your heart to be open when you come to church, because anything can happen. And I was just telling Pastor K outside, when he finished preaching, he literally finished preaching in first service. And I kept saying, this is a good word. But Lord, where am I here today? This is a good word. But what's my word in this? And then just before he left, he came back and he said that the curse was on man. Man will sweat to work. So me, I can, without much labor, without toiling, with ease, I will be blessed. That means that I can do what I do elegantly and money will come to me. Without struggling the way men struggle. I don't know about the rest of you, but I've gotten the word for the rest of my life. That word has just changed my life. And Pastor K, you will see money. Wealth. You will see the wealthy wife of a wealthy husband. Without toil. People that understand that there's something about the word that sets you free. I was completely set free this morning with that word. Just that word set me free. And not only set me free, set me on fire. Gave me a consciousness of who I am. That I attract money without labor. In fact, I think that's where we should start from. Proverbs 10:22. I'm going to... I plan to teach, but I think I'm just going to share my story. And I believe that you'll find secrets in that story that can help you. Proverbs 10:22. I want it in a couple of versions. So let's start with King James. Should I read it in my own Bible? Oh, wow. Okay. Proverbs 10:22. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. So what maketh rich? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added no sorrow with it. Give it to me in Amplified Classic. You're going to be fast. I need a couple of versions. I'm going to need Amplified Classic. I'm going to need Young Literal Translation. I'm going to need ERV. I'm going to need TPT. So it says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich. And he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. That's literally what Pastor K said to me this morning. And this word is confirming it. That the blessing of the Lord, he makes you truly rich. There's a true riches. There's a true, you know, and I know that there's a true riches by definition. But there's a wealth that you encounter. You say, this person truly, this person get money. It's that kind of true riches I'm talking about. And he says, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. So it's not by labor. It's not by your salary. You are blessed. That's what makes you wealthy. Your salary is just an opportunity to connect with the blessing and express the blessing. So your salary is not the source of your wealth. God is the source of your wealth. The blessing that God has placed on your life is the source of wealth and true riches. Give it to me in Amplified. No, that's Amplified Classic. So give it to me in, if you can find Young's Literal Translation, give it to me. If not, let's run to ERV, easy to read version. This one says, the blessing of Jehovah, it maketh rich, and he added no grief with it. So true riches is the one that you are wealthy, but there's no sorrow, there's no pain, there's no running around, there's no hiding how much you have, there's no discomfort attached to it. Give me easy to read. It is the Lord's blessing that brings wealth, and no hard work can add to it. It's the blessing that gives you money. And this is the scripture that gave me the boldness to marry someone who wasn't earning a regular income. When I met Pastor K, he had work, but he didn't have the money that most people are used to. And this is for the single girl out there. If you marry for money, that can change overnight. But if you marry someone who carries the blessing and is conscious that they carry the blessing, then I guarantee you that wealth is inevitable. So I remember just before we got married, Pastor K asked me a question. He said, me that I don't have money, you want to marry me? Are you sure about it? And without missing a beat, I said to him, you're not the one who's going to take care of me. God is going to take care of me. God pays my bills. And I need you to understand that it's a mindset. If you're going to work well in marriage concerning money, you have to have the right kind of mindset. So if you enter marriage thinking that the man is the source of your wealth, the man is the one that's going to take care of your bills, this woman is going to pay all my bills, this woman's father, because I recognize that a lot of people marry now because she's from a rich home. Her father's money is not her money. And if the man is smart, he will make sure that his daughter is protected because they can see. You are the only one that thinks that we can't see that you're a gold digger. Everybody can see the way you are drooling as you enter her father's house. Like Brother Felix in Just Us Guest. You are looking around and asking, this house is not looking bad. So the girl knows it's not because of her. It's her father's money. So when he asked me that question, I knew clearly, you are not my source. God is my source. And I'm not entering this marriage because I'm looking for someone to pay my bills. I'm getting into this marriage as a partnership. We both have something to do. We're working together. And please, you must understand that I wasn't raised poor. I've never, ever had a need to use my faith for anything that money could solve. Because growing up, I didn't understand the concept of, I'm believing, I'm working. My parents paid my bills. My sister is here. You write a list, your parents give you what's on the list. I never really thought about money. We didn't grow up thinking money. We only grew up knowing that money must never define you. One of the things that my mother passed down, my parents really passed down to us, was the fact that you can have money, but money must never have you. Money must never define your motives, must never define how you think, must never define how you act. Whether you have money or not, it shouldn't change how you behave. And so having that healthy mindset made it easy for me to make my choice. That this guy doesn't have that kind of money. And if it was based on money, I wouldn't have married him. Because I was engaged to a doctor in the UK. And anybody that has sense, calculate it, add my favor. You know that we'll be balling. So it was very clear that the reason why I married my husband was in money. And that really helped. And like he said in first service, one of the things my mother asked me, I think one of the greatest advice my mother has ever given me, because I was sitting down with her in the room for no reason. She just turns to me and says, if this to be, because I was at a crossroad, Pastor K and I were already in a relationship and my ex was begging me back. He was saying, you know, let's give it another try. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened, blah, blah, blah. And pastor without salary, doctor in the UK, pounds sterling. Pastor in Nigeria without salary, who was not romantic. Let me rephrase that. And somebody who was willing to borrow money itself to come and marry me. That's how, I'm telling you, so weighing it like that. I was at a crossroad. I mean, not really, because I knew what God had said. So my mom asked me a question. She said, if you have to drink Gary, that was her exact words, if you have to drink Gary with one of these people for the rest of your life, who would it be? When I knew that Pastor K, when I knew without a shadow of a doubt that Pastor K was the person I should marry, was when I didn't think about it and I said Kingsley. And my mother said, why? I said, because even if we don't have money, he will be playing and be laughing. He will not make it your fault. You are not the witch. You are not the... There will be peace. There will be joy. Better a little with plenty joy and peace. And you see the difference between all those guys that are toasting you and telling you, but when Pastor K married Pastor K, he did not have anything. The difference is that I saw that he had work. He was committed to his work and he was consistent at it. And he had faith. He was so conscious of the blessing. He never doubted that he would be wealthy. That confidence is enough to work with. Remember, you are called to be a helper. So if somebody is showing you potential, it's easy to help them. Just point them in the right direction. Give me TPT of that same scripture. Honestly, I can read the scripture in a million versions. True enrichment comes from the blessing of the Lord with rest and contentment in knowing that it all comes from Him. That's true enrichment. The money, everything comes from God, but it also comes with peace that it comes from God, so nothing can take it away. So whether I have a salary or not, wealth is my portion. Money has no choice but to flow to me. Money is attracted to me. Money enjoys my company. Money knows I will use it for good. So when it enters a room, it flows directly to me. It looks around and says, Mildred is here. This is where we keep company. And you know, I understand that where I am now is not where I will always be. So even when we didn't have physical cash, it didn't change the fact that I understood that we carry the blessing. And so the blessing makes rich. Men don't make rich. The blessing makes rich. Your salary doesn't make rich. The blessing on your salary makes rich. It is the blessing. So we must be conscious of that. And I find that that is important because in marriage, most times, people put the burden of provision and enrichment on the husband. So half the time, women are getting married with the notion that a man is going to take care of me. And what that does is that it shuts down your own creative juices and all your possibilities. Because you are thinking that if this man doesn't marry me, then God cannot bless me. So you hear young girls say, I want to marry a rich man. He may be rich now, but with the kind of bad behavior and bad character and evil spirit that you are going into that marriage with, he will lose that money. It is God who is rich unto all. So if God can make that man rich, he can make you rich as well. So I entered marriage with that consciousness. And I was equipped. My parents had equipped me for a life. If you have a master's, you get a good job, you'll be okay. And I was trained to be hardworking. So I knew that I would not have money. It's not even a possibility. In fact, I remember telling Pastor K, I said, the scripture says that a virtuous woman is a crown unto her husband. I carry virtue. You go get money. That one is standard. So I'm conscious of the blessing that I carry. And that's what I'm trying to activate for you this morning. That there's a blessing that makes rich. If you can connect with that blessing that makes rich, you will not look to any man as your source. Abraham said, lest you say you made Abraham rich. I don't want anything from you. God is able to make us all rich. The Bible says that it is able to make all grace abound to us. So that in every circumstance, you will not even need aid or support. Do you understand? Even for the good things you want to do, you will not need to call meeting, committee. You will have more than enough. That's the God we serve. So if you enter into marriage and you give money the reverence you should give God, money will fail you. Or you give your husband the reverence you should give God, he will fail. Because no one can compete with God. There can be no rival thrones with God. So God is the source of all things. So we got married. Now, the thing I must tell you also is that even though there's a blessing on top of you or in you, God does not like waste. God hates waste. And if there's waste somewhere, God will block that place. So if you remember the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, after he had fed everybody, sure, he should have stood up from there and started going. That everybody's now, they're all well taken care of, all of you. You've had some fish? Did you have some sandwich? Tuna? Right? Good. He could have said the grace and gone home. He came back and he told them, make sure you gather everything that remains. Let nothing waste. And from the things they gathered, 12 full man-sized baskets. What they were going to waste was 12 full man-sized baskets. Do you understand? That tells me that those little coke you are drinking, the little meat pie you are eating here, the little money, your 29 that fell, you do not bend to pick it. All those things, If you put them together, it's enough to take care of you for a year. Go and check. I'll give you an assignment today. Write down every time you spend money on things that are not on your budget. It will shock you. If you live outside your budget, it will shock you at how wasteful. And you are wondering why more money is not coming. Because if you are not faithful with the little things, who will trust you with true riches? It's the word. It's simple. You say, oh, it's 120 naira left. They just leave it. Just leave it. Pick your 20 naira, pick your 10 naira. Is that 20 naira and 10 naira that makes 1,000 at the end of the day? So when we got married, I didn't realize at the time that my husband, and everybody has this, my husband had a certain money personality that was different from mine. Everyone has money personalities. You just need to discover what yours is. Especially if you're going to be successful in marriage. I'm not going to go into it because we already have a video on YouTube that talks about money mindset, money personality, but you are not watching it because it's not Pastor M and Pastor K. Why are we following them? This is why, because I'm going to explain it. You go and look for it now. So I found out that my husband had a certain personality that was different from mine. I'm a money saver. He's a spender. So imagine a saver and a spender getting married. So when we got married, in fact, my first shocker was when we were checking out the hall that we wanted to use for our wedding. We got to the hall. We were putting money together. Of course, I understood that this was going to be a joint assignment, our wedding. He didn't have all the money in the world. So we're going to do this together. And I do believe, even though Pascal has explained it in first service, I do believe that both of us are supposed to provide. But I think that the man, because he's the leader, should have a leader's approach to provision. Which means that he should also, even as much as is possible, want to provide, even though it's not his sole responsibility. But he should want to. He should have that body language of one who wants to provide. Don't say that because Pastor K said, there's nowhere in the Bible. But you went to carry somebody that father is providing for from my father's house. You are not, yes, we keep quoting 1 Timothy. That it's not anybody still the president. That's not what, because the person that is preaching it for you now, he has that body language of the one who wants to provide. Because the Bible says you should love the way Christ loved. He provides for the church, does he not? So, sir, please, as the leader, have that same approach. Jesus provides. What we need, who do we go to? Jesus. You will not answer now. But if it is to say you are the leader so they can give it to me, you will answer. And so we got to where we're going to rent hall. So we went together because, of course, I was putting up a budget and all of that to know what we're going to do. When we got there, after our Pastor K said, they told us the hall was, I can't remember right now. I can't remember. But Pastor K said he needed to use the bathroom. So I was there, I was waiting for him. He goes outside. After a few minutes, I don't see my soon-to-be husband. Ah, husband is not plenty like that in Lagos. So I said, let me go and find him. So I asked somebody, please, did you see the young guy? And I said, oh, they went this way. The owner of the hall said he wanted to go and show him where the restroom is. So they passed the back. So I went there. As I was going to where the restroom, I saw Pastor K and the guy standing beside a dog cage. I say, Shemi say one good piece. He say, I never go. I saw this dog. I say, okay. So I stood there. Next thing I'm hearing, oh no, that's too expensive. What's expensive? I say, no, that's too expensive. The guy say, oh, I brought it in from, this is pure breed from the UK. He say, yeah, I can see that. I can see, this thing was just flying over my head. Long and short of the story. We came to prize hall that we don't have money for. My husband has bought dog. Sure, if you want to buy dog, you even buy one. Let's even start from there. He said, no, that if he buys one, the other one will die of loneliness. I don't even know the nonsense you tell me before. Wait till you run from I. So, honestly, at that time, I don't know why, but I didn't think much of it. To be honest, I didn't think much of it. And so we got married. After we got married, first thing that landed were those two dogs. And they were the most destructive creatures I've ever met. Tore my chairs, went out when they came back, tore all my chairs. Another day, I managed to believe God for money, cook soup. We went out, by the time I came back, the dogs had snuck in through the back door, climbed my cooker, pushed off the cover of the pot, licked the whole pot of soup clean, covered it back and gone outside and stayed in their cage. Listen, like I said, if I was to drink garri for the rest of my life, I would still marry Pastor K. He made a joke out of that. Me, I was so frustrated. He laughed and laughed and laughed. He said, they are such intelligent dogs. See, this dog goes. He said, the dogs can even do spy movies. See, they entered, climbed, do everything. At first, I thought it was a human being. If not, that there was nobody at home and the whole doors were locked. I don't know if it's a human being. Human being can't clean out the whole pot. They cleaned it out, covered the pot back, and snuck back outside into their cage. Pascal laughed it off. We didn't eat anything that day, and it was fine. We laughed, we slept. But then, I now realized that that soon became a trend in our marriage. Pastor K would buy things. Came back one day with a bubble, South African bubble, that he got a deal on. You people don't know what a South African bubble is. It's those big mastiffs. I don't know if you can find the picture. Those big dogs. They're from family of mastiffs. Really big dogs. And Dipsy was so big that when she stands, she was the same height with Pastor K. She was massive. He came back with Dipsy that day and told me that there was a deal on the dog. Why are we getting a deal on a dog? We don't need a dog. I said, I know, I don't understand. See, it's important. He needs, I love dogs. Don't I know that I love dogs? He told me for a mile. I'm like, I can't breathe. Okay. You can have your three dogs. At that time, we now had four because we bought Beauty as well. So four dogs. Now, I didn't have a problem with the other dogs because whatever we eat and remain, they will eat. Dipsy, on the other hand, yes. Just that Dipsy was brindle. She was brindle. She was like this, but she was brindle. Now, Dipsy, on the other hand, eats one whole Titus fish. And you have to cook her one derica of rice every day. We've not eaten, no. Because as I'm telling this story, I need to understand that if at that time Pastor K and I were owing you 5K, you would join faith with us to know that they will pay you that money. But you see, even though Pastor K was a spender, when it came to the things of God, I noticed that he was so disciplined. So all these things were happening at a time that things were so great in church. But he said to me clearly, and this is what I must tell you, stealing is not an option. No matter how you justify it, whether you call it Yahoo, whether you call it helping yourself, whether you call it falsifying figures in the office, whether you call it advantage, whatever name you give it, stealing is not an option. Why? Because when you steal, you think you can solve your problem. It is the blessing. So you must always go back to the one who gave you the money and how he intends to continue to give you that money. Pastor K said, I am not Davis Christian Center, so a dime of Davis Christian Center will not enter into our pockets. And at the time that he had been working, they were not paying him a salary in DCC. So we were living by faith. I tried to get a job, and then at some point God told me, you will serve no other gods. So I knew I was called to full time. So I packed up my master's and I decided to start teaching Sunday school like my father feared. That's how I know you don't follow us, because you don't know that joke. So Pastor K and I got married and he started buying things. It was very erratic. I'd never seen anything like that. So he'll come back today with a pool table. Who needs a pool table when he can't eat? What's wrong with you? He will do PS, he has bought PS. What's going on? And the truth was, at some point he started making money. But as he was making the money, he was running through the money just as quickly. And it was hard for me because, remember, my own personality is to save. I don't believe you spend everything you have. If you give me 1 naira today, at least 30 kobo, I go keep them. I can never, it's just a principle with me. I never spend, my mind just works that way. I never eat my tithe, number one, because it is not mine. If you give me money to keep, I never spend it because it's not mine. I have such a disciplined nature when it comes to money. That's why I understand money. My husband will buy anything. He doesn't say, what's there? And then his argument was always, all this money you're keeping, Jesus will come now. Will it be useful? Let's enjoy this life. You don't know when Jesus will come. It was always about when Jesus would come. And then I would even say, but honey, you know we have to save for a rainy day. Even now, no be God, they give rain. Which one we are saving for a rainy day? God will protect you before. He always had an answer and an attitude. And to tell you the truth, every time he believed for something, if I say we need money for this, he will believe the money will come somehow. So his faith was working. So it was covering for a bad spending nature or bad spending personality. I don't know how to describe it. So we were always at a, we didn't have money. But because we also had a principle of sharing money. So let me say this. Pastor K and I have operated a joint account from the day we got married. However, I recognize that there are anomalies these days in marriages. So a lot of people cannot even disclose how much they earn because you do joint account. Before you come back, your husband has carried all the money. He has gone to use it to fly abroad with different girls, or he has gone to use it to give his family members or whatever, you know. And your children are either always sent out because they can't pay school fees. Your landlord is always knocking at your door. So sometimes you have to pay rent twice because you brought money for rent. Your husband has spent it. You bring it again, you know, things like that. I know, I understand all those happen. However, God's plan is that you will be naked and not ashamed, which means there will be full disclosure. That's God's plan. But because human beings are human beings, they've spotted it. Okay? Now, I know that publicly, most times, we wouldn't teach this because we would teach the general rule. However, I believe that there's a place for wisdom to come in. So if you know that your husband is, or your wife is the kind of person that will totally destroy all your plans, you guys have to have an agreement of joint accountability, not necessarily joint account. Do you understand? Because tomorrow now they'll say, Pastor M, say we should not do joint account. So that's what I said. I said there should be joint account or joint accountability, which is what God is really after. That you both have full disclosure. If both of you cannot disclose how much you earn, then there's a trust issue, not a money issue. There's a fundamental marriage issue, not a money issue. So basically, and I used to operate a joint. I mean, we still do till tomorrow, we operate a joint account. However, anytime we want to maybe do something, you know, we would also have allowances. So maybe you say, oh, this is, you need money for your upkeep, this is yours, this is mine, you know, and we operate it based on a budget. So this is yours, this is mine. At some point, when he still was very young in the Lord and the things of God, he used to give me almost twice what he used to collect. But now, you know, they treat me like that again. It seems we are now mates. I'm not your equal, sir. So, the money he would take, before I blink, Pastor K has finished his money. But me, I was saving. Because what am I buying? I'm not materialistic. I don't want shoe. I don't want bag. I don't want phone. I don't want my phone. If you see new, brand new phone, is that somebody dash me? Or Pastor K just thinks it's time to change my phone? I've never bought phone with my money. The things I want in life are so simple. And most of them are not even money-based. You buy a car, it will park outside for you. The last car Pastor K bought, I don't think I've ever pressed on safe in that car. In fact, a lot of people don't even know I can drive. I don't go anywhere. If it's not church, I'm in my house. And if I'm coming to church, I'm coming with Pastor K. So somebody's driving us. Do you understand? So you come now and say, which car should I buy for you? You're wasting your money, sir. Just give me the money. Let me go invest it. Let it be giving birth. So I always had money. But it was a concern for me that my husband didn't. He never seemed to have money. And so sometimes he would say, oh, honey, I need money for something. Or, I was supposed to pay for this thing. But I need like 200K more. I'll say, okay, I'll give you. He said, you have 200K? How do you have 200K? I say, I have. He said, there's money in this house like this. Yes. I say, hey. He will do it again. Another time, he'll ask me for money. I need this. How much? Then he said, opening it small. The money where I need now, plenty. I said, how much? I said, I need like 1 million. I said, I get to, I'll give you. See, you have 1 million naira. I said, this girl, I'm afraid of you. You know? And all this while, the reason why I was doing that was because, first of all, not that I'm better than him, but you must understand that that was my own money personality. I'm a saver. It's like how somebody who is a sanguine will enter a room and be playing. I will enter a room and immediately find the nearest seat because I don't want anybody to even notice me. Right? So I'm not saying I'm better than him. I'm not saying that we had different personalities. Now, this is where the work begins. Just because it is your personality doesn't mean that that's how you should remain. You can get better. So you see, what has happened also is the fact that, no, I'm jumping ahead. Let me continue my story. So I would always be giving him money like that. Pastor K now turned 40. This is the shortened version I'm giving you guys. Because there were times in our home where, even though, like I said, he was very disciplined about church money. And I thank God for that. Because there's a curse for stealing. So even though we were on TV, let me rephrase that. Even though he was on TV, we didn't have toothpaste sometimes. We didn't have food to eat sometimes. But he was on TV. He was obeying what God said he should obey. And yes, church was paying for that. But church wasn't paying our bills. So sometimes if we want to use toothpaste, that's finished. And we hold the toothbrush, the stronger, the leader, the head, will now press the toothpaste because he has power. And when he has finished pressing it, you know, you press it, press it, press it. It's not toothpaste like now. You know those close-up, those iron ones that used to, So he will use his power and press it. When he has finished, it's not working. Again, pressing, pressing, not working. I will now, with my skill, kitchen skills, I will now bring scissors and now cut it and now scoop. That's how we would use it. Sometimes, soap. You know those days now, if you're using prayer leather or something, this is the part that always says, oh, gum it together. You are getting close to a brand new soap. And I'm saying these things, you're laughing. I'm telling you, that was my reality at the time. And you must understand that I came from always having. So imagine that. I came from always having to marrying someone who we didn't have. Now, I could have stayed there grumbling and saying, this man, you came from my father's house to come and suffer me. This is not the way I used to live. Oh, I'm a yellow girl. Oh, I must rub organic cream. Oh, I must do this. I could have done that. But then you must understand that that wouldn't have got us out of our solution, because what that would mean is I'm putting the responsibility of getting us out of this place on him. And he's not my source. God is my source. So I had to start asking God, so what do we do? Lord, what do we do? There has to be a way out of this. And there has to be a way to help this man. Pastor K turned 40. And after we had done everything, done his birthday and everything, I was reflecting. So I laid down and I asked myself, I've been married to this man for a couple of years. He's 40 years old. What does he have in his account? Between you and I, Pastor K didn't have 1 million naira in his account at his 40th birthday. So I called his pastor, I called Reverend Femi. I said, Papa, if anything happens to this man now, and let me tell you the kind of man I was married to, why he did not have that kind of money. We would buy property. I remember the first time we bought property around here, the first time we bought it, we used all our faith, did everything, bought the property. One morning, I was sitting in church. Pascal was preaching. It was right here. I was sitting down here. He was preaching. And then he said, oh, the land that my wife and I bought, I've sold it. We're sowing the money and... So I first asked, who is his wife? Because when I left the house, we discussed of how we're going to build the land and we had discussed. So I don't understand. So basically, it was the kind of person that would sow money, we wouldn't have a pre-conversation. And he knew that that would not affect me because he understood I understood spiritual principles. Because if God is your source and God is a spirit, you must operate with the same principles he gave you. So tithing, giving, sowing, was not an issue. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't discuss it though, because some people, you now come and try that, the way you reach your wife, the way your wife will jack you. He knew I would not jack him. That's why I can do that kind of stunt. And because we also had a background, so the story is plenty. I don't even know where to, and I feel like I'm all over the place. But just follow me. And so, we didn't have any, when I mean we didn't have money, we didn't have anything. So I spoke to Rev about it, and he said, no, Pastor K needs to start saving. I said, so how do we have that conversation with him? He said, you pray, I pray. We'll talk about it. So I prayed about it. And God told me something. He said, it was from this scripture that says that whatever you want someone to do to you, do unto them. But the translation I read says, whatever you want people to do to you, take the initiative. I think Message Translation, Matthew 7. It says, take the initiative and do it for them. And so, I now said, okay, I want him to start saving, but he's spending, what do I do? And one of the things Pastor K had always accused me of is that I never spend. You say, you don't even spend anything. Buy something. Buy, be happy. And I said, okay, so the Holy Spirit said to me, he has no issues with you taking money. What you use the money for is now up to you. So, I started taking money. So anytime Pastor K takes money, I'll take money. But I'll save it for him. So I opened an account, I'll save it for him. He'll take money, I'll take money, I'll save it. You take money, and I was doing it consistently because he was taking money every week, I was taking money every week. So one day, he now stopped and asked me a question. He said, no, it wasn't me he asked. He asked our accountant. He called and said, Why is Pastor M taking money every week? She said, I don't know, sir. Maybe you need to ask her. The girl just threw me under the bus. I will not call her name because if not, people will meet outside and maybe tell later. But she threw me under the bus and said, I don't know, maybe you need to ask her, sir. So Pastor K calls me and says, Naoni, what's this money you are taking? I said, which money? He said, the money you are taking. I said, it's the way you are taking money, I'm taking money. He said, what are you doing with it? Because I know you, you don't buy anything, you don't know, what are you doing with this money? So after he pressed me, like Samson and Delilah, I should have told him. I said, the money, I was saving it for you and I plan to give it to you when you turn 50. And he looked at me and said, how much can the money possibly be that you are taking? When I told him how much I had spent, and that's why I told you, gather the fragments that remain. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked at what 10K every week can do if you leave it and invest it for 10 years. You'll be shocked. So when I told him how much it was, my husband said, eh? You are joking. He said, I have saved this much without my knowledge. He said, let's do it well. Now, this principle worked for me because I worked in obedience. Another thing God told me, he said, at no point must you ever disrespect him for his spending habits. Let me tell you, if somebody is your partner, right? If somebody, especially men, let me just help you. God, I wanted to code it, but let me just say it. Women, if you are dealing with a man, anything you do must be done with respect. You can tell a man anything respectfully and he will do it. Anything. So I didn't come and say, so at your age, you don't even fit spend money. See, 40, your mates have built house. You are here. You buy dog today. You will buy food table tomorrow. When they do you, not go grow. I never said that. Honestly, I never thought it either. Because some people say, but you don't finally tell us to give it in your mind. No. It was never in my heart. Yeah, because people are wicked. Well, people, I know them. It was never in my heart. Never. Like I said, I understood who our source was. I also understood that we can train ourselves and change our spending habits. And I also knew that Pastor Gay had a good disposition to money, just didn't know how to direct it. Because he was disciplined when it came to God's money. Why wasn't he disciplined when it came to his? So I had to point him in that direction. And so in obeying God and doing what God said I should do, my husband started saving. Now, what totally changed our finances, I'll tell you. When one day, and this is where I must say that if you're going to make progress as husband and wife in terms of money, you must work as a team. You must work as partners. Nobody must be left behind. As you are growing in your revelation knowledge, as you are listening to videos, listening to messages, as you are learning financial principles, you must carry your partner along. Don't think that I got this. Men are so guilty of it. I got this. No, listen. The person who is better with money should manage the money. The Bible never said the head must manage the money. The person better with money must manage the money. It doesn't make you less of a man. It makes you a great leader. And so Pastor K, as he was learning and growing, he was sharing. As I was learning and growing, I was sharing. So we were working together as a team to come out of the poverty. It wasn't one person's responsibility. So I never looked at him and said, you can't provide for me. Get to carry me from my father's house. What's the meaning of that? I didn't do that. Are you invalid? Are you crippled? It's a partnership. Two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. Share the work, share the wealth. That's what translation says. You share the work, you share the wealth. You don't come and hang your hand and expect a man to do everything for you. And that's why a lot of women are not doing great things. Because you think, and let me also use this to address the men. Men in the house, please. If your wife is called to work, let her work. We have too many women frustrated in the home, doing things that doesn't add value to them, doesn't add value to you. You are struggling, you are laboring alone. And God says, two are better. Share the work. Let her go to work. Say, I don't want anybody to look at my wife anyhow. The one that even annoys me the most, I don't want my wife to tell any other man, sir. If she tells him, sir, will you reduce your sir? But you, sir, cannot provide for the home. And women that are working, listen, enjoy your money as well. I know you will not understand. That's why you're not clapping. The Proverbs 31 woman that we all follow, the Bible says she was clothed in fine silk and linen. That means she looked like the money she was making. Because they told us all the things she was doing. And then they told us that she was taking care of herself. Take care of yourself. Don't walk and walk and walk and die. If you die, they will marry again. Pastor Jethro will wed them, and your children will be outside. Because I see too many women. Your manager, some days, just buy grilled fish for yourself with cheap bottle of wine. Cross your leg. Press television. You are the one paying for the Netflix. Press it. You are the one paying for DSTV. It's not every time football. You to press it. Relax and enjoy your life. Because see too many women slaving away, slaving away, slaving away. So bottom line, I have just 10 seconds and I'm just going to share what happened. Pastor K came back one day and said to me, honey, come, I want to show you something. He said, see what God just showed me. I said, what? He opened Luke 6:38. I says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give to your bosom. It says, with the same measure that you give, is the same measure to which you receive. Give it to me in Amplified Classic. After giving to me Amplified Classic, give it to me in the Passion Translation. See it. It says, give and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over. Will they pour into the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe and used as a bag? For with the measure you deal out, with the measure you use when you confer benefits on others, it will be measured back to you. Give me TPT. So Pastor Gil said to me, why do we stop at the beginning of this scripture? Everybody stops at pressed down, shaking together, shall men give unto you. The most important part is the second part that says that your measure of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. What you used to give is what you used to get. So my husband said, that means if we sow in millions, we will reap in millions. Light came, just the way light came for me this morning. Ah, Pastor, okay, that scripture you read this morning. You go see money now, they come. Light came, so we started saving. We saved, in fact, that's why I say that he's disciplined. He just needed to be channeled in the right place. Pastor, when Pastor gets on a project, when we're saving to change levels, if we, that time I'll tell him, I say, we need to buy egg. If anybody needs to eat egg in this house, you're late. If you give us rice, he will sell it and add the money. See, we got 1,010,000. I will never forget. 1,010,000 was the first 1 million seed we sold. And he said he doesn't want to hear bank charges did not do any money. You can't cost 1 million. 1,010,000. We sold that seed. And in less than three months, we had given them the same 1 million. That took us almost 1 year to give in two or three more times. So he said to me the same measure. So it can happen in dollars. I still remember that day I was cooking in the kitchen. We're living in Festac that time. I was cooking in the kitchen. My husband came and said, dance. I say, dance. He said, dance. I won't spray you. So, because they said they won't spray me, we will not see money chop before. I can't begin dancing. As I was cooking, I was frying, turning the thing that I was cooking. My husband spray me. He will spray me $100. He will collect it by spraying me $200. He collected the money. I said, you spray me. I'm keeping the money. He said, because they don't eat this kind. We sold that money. Somebody came again and gave him $6,400. My husband said, they don't spend this kind. They don't eat this kind. We sold it again. Somebody came that Christmas, gave him $10,000, gave me $10,000. My husband said, they don't eat this kind. We sold it. Do you know that story Pastor K always tells you people about the $100,000? We didn't eat it though. We sold it to Island Church when we're buying Island Church property. How did I find out? I was in America. I just had my daughter. No, my son. My daughter. Who did I have? One of them. Daughter. Baby was with me. Daughter. I just had my daughter. I went to buy baby things. So somebody has $100,000 in the account. Two of that. Six of that. I'll take eight of that. Pull that. How much is it? No, don't worry about the price. Just pull it out. I went to the counter to pay. And they told me my card was declined. I said, try it again. The girl tried it again. Before she go carry scissors, because you know they're nowhere there. Go carry scissors. I said, give me my card. Let me. She said, you want to try a different card? I said, yes, give me my card. I picked up my phone to try my second card. Hello? They said, there's no money in our account. I said, oh, I forgot to tell you, I sold it. I carried my load. My friend said, are we not buying again? I said, stand there. They will soon insult you. No, be escort you, escort me, come. My husband sold the money. That's how I went home. Listen, we kept sowing. And God's word can never fail. Today, we are blessed in every currency, literally. Every currency. And the man that when we started out wasn't earning a salary. One of the things God did for us was we learned not to rely on salary. Because when I first married him, I was wondering, what can you know? We learned not to rely on our salaries. Because even me, when they now started paying me, he would sew it. They say, oh, they're not paid per se, say, oh, she's sewing it. I said, sir, let me make this decision for myself. You can't be sewing money for me. I'm not as generous to Jesus as you are, sir. Just, can we just put it out there? And we kept doing this. We kept doing this. What we have learned, what we learned there is the same principles we're still operating today. That number one, God is your source. Number two, we are a team. And number three, we keep working together using the same principles God has taught us. We sow where we need to sow. We give where we need to give. Listen, the liberal soul shall be made fat. If you do all these things, I guarantee you, you will have the marriage of your dreams. Were you blessed this morning? Before I leave, I just want us to take a few minutes and pray. Because I've shared to you my story and how God gave me wisdom. I don't know what your own case is, and I don't know what level of wisdom you need to operate in for your marriage to work or for the money in your marriage to work. So this morning, you're going to ask the Holy Spirit for help. Bible says he's the one that is called alongside to help. He's our counselor. He's the one that gives us the wisdom necessary. He told me, this is what you do. Pattern what you want for him. Maybe your own is not pattern. Maybe your own is even shout more. I don't know. I'm just joking. But whatever it is, the Holy Spirit will teach you. So this morning, I want you to open your mouth and say, as Pastor Oyin is speaking, the word says your teacher will be in front of you, but you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. So you're going to ask for the way this morning. Say, Holy Spirit, I need the way. I need to know how. How do I change our finances? What am I missing? What do we need to learn? What do we need to do? Where do we need to give? Ask for the phronema of the Spirit. There's a mindset of God that you need to have if you want to come out of a challenge. Open your mouth and pray. Say, I need wisdom this morning.
Go ahead and keep praying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sombre de keshtika broda bashita. Lendre de bapos. Solid homes. Solid homes. Blessed homes. Blessed homes. Thank you, Jesus. As a couple, begin to make up your mind right now that you will be a tithing family. You'll be a family that tithes. You'll be a family that gives. You'll be a family that honors God with your finances. There are many homes that honor clothes, honor food, honor comfort, honor greed, but they don't honor God. Don't be Ananias and Sapphira that stole God's portion. Instead, be like the family of Barnabas. They gave and gave and gave again to the things of God. Yes, be that family that honors God. Be that family that honors God. I bless you today. Money will never be an issue in your home. And even beyond money, God will add other blessings to your home. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Come on, give the Lord a big praise. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Don't believe most of the